Hello everyone, welcome back to another webcast. Today with us we have Diogo Amann and Pedro Mateus. They are SharePoint SEs. So Diogo, welcome and the stage is yours.
Thank you, Bruno. Welcome to our webcast about sharing and permissions in SharePoint Online. We are pleased to have you here along with us about this overview on how the permissions were designed to work in SharePoint Online and how the sharing can be used and the advantage of sharing with the external users. Okay, so on our agenda for today, we will start with a brief introduction of ourselves. Then we will speak a little bit about the different Office 365 admin roles and how they can interact with the different products within Office 365 bundle. Then we will speak about the basics in terms of the SharePoint permissions and the most common topics that are linked to themselves. We will speak about groups. We will speak about permission levels. We will speak about how the set of permissions can be handled in an architecture for SharePoint Online. Then we will continue with the external sharing, and we will conclude with the troubleshooting session when we will show a demonstration of most of the topics that we will cover during the presentation, and we will conclude with the questions and answers. Okay, so about ourselves, I am Diogo Amann. I am a support engineer for SharePoint Online and also SharePoint on-premises. Here with me, I have my colleague Pedro Mateus, which is a support escalation engineer for SharePoint Online. Okay, so on this first module, we will start discussing about the Office 365 permissions and the multiple admin roles and how they can be used for Office 365, and then we will drill down to the level of a site collection. So starting with the administrative roles, as we can see, there are multiple roles for different technologies within Office 365. We can have admins for Exchange Online. We can have admins for Skype for Business. Here for the SharePoint Online, we will start discussing about the global administrators and also SharePoint administrators. Basically, these are two type of users that have permissions on the SharePoint admin center and that can handle all the main settings that will get across all the site collections in the SharePoint Online. If we drill down a level, as we can see from the picture, on the top level, we have a global administrator or a SharePoint Online administrator, which can have all control over the settings in the admin center and can configure and turn off all the options that will get global to the all site collections, including as an external sharing. All of the settings that can be handled in the admin center are handled by these two type of users. Okay, so for the site collection level, we have the site collection administrators that will have control over all the objects within a site collection. It could be a site, it could be a list, it could be an item. So all the items can be handled by a site collection administrator. Okay, so next topic, it's about the basics in SharePoint permissions. We will briefly describe a little bit of the history and which features were included in which phase of the products. Then we will detail a little bit about the groups and permissions, and also the main concepts about the groups, about permission levels, about the users. All of these items are related themselves. Then we will continue with the permissions inheritance, where we will detail the differences between the unique permissions versus inheriting permissions. Then we will continue with the special SharePoint groups. The next topic would be about security groups versus distribution groups. And then we will speak about audiences, access requests, and a little bit about the best practices when you are designing a permission to be applied in SharePoint Online. Okay, so a little bit about the history. Since SharePoint 2003, there are only two level of permissions applicable for the product. So basically, in that time, we only have web and library level of permissions. Further, due to some identifiers that were needed, the product implements also as a new feature, item-level permissions that allow us more granularity of which permissions can be assigned on the items. In SharePoint 2010 and 2013, in fact, for the product that we have nowadays, there were no significant changes that will be propagated to the SharePoint Online. In SharePoint Online, in fact, there was implemented the NoScript option, also known as custom scripts, that allows the option to deny some permissions to masses. So until there, all the permissions are inclusive and are adding something, here with the NoScript you can deny a permission for a specific user or a group of users. Okay, so here from this picture, if you can see, we have a lot of concepts here detailed. I will start from the right part where we have users or groups. So everything is about a user that is trying to access a resource that is stored on our SharePoint site. So as a man in the middle, we may consider the permissions that are restricting or allowing the user to access to that resource. So we may consider a user, the individual entity that can be part or not of a SharePoint group. Here, a SharePoint group we may consider as a container of multiple users that will, between them, share all the same permissions. So if we make sure that our SharePoint group is linked with one permission level, that permission level will be applicable to all users, and then all the users will have the same level of permissions in a list or a library, in a folder, in an item or a document. So having here as an example a SharePoint group, in a SharePoint group we can have one or multiple permission levels, which ones with a set of permissions that will in fact apply or restrict which options the users can do through the securable objects. So by default, these are the most common SharePoint groups created in SharePoint Online. Some of them can differ depending on the site templates. I will just point out here the most common ones are visitors, members, and owners. Which of these groups contains a specific permission level? In a visitors for a reads, in a members for an edit, and in a owners for a full control. So this is all the groups that are created, for example, in a publishing site. Also in a team site with the publishing features activated. So these groups is the most common ones and are the ones that can be used. Also, if something is missing here, we can also create a customized group importing a specific custom level, permission level, and then use that group as we prefer. Okay, so permission levels. We have here different permission levels, which ones applicable to different groups. Some of them are editable. Others, no. We have here, for example, the full control, which cannot be customized or deleted. We have here the edit, which is typically assigned to the members group, and we have the read that is typically assigned to the visitors group. A part of these three basic permission levels, full control, edit, and read, I would like also to point out the limited access, which is basically assigned to a user when we decide to broke permissions in a specific item. Basically, the SharePoint is responsible to granting that level of permission to that user in the list or a library or a site if needed to make sure that the user with the unique permissions can access to that item. Okay, so including on each permission level, we have a set of permissions for different scopes. We have for site, we have for list, and we have for personal. So that way we can guarantee that each permission level will have different checkbox to select or unselect which of these permissions can be used. Okay, permissions inheritance. About permissions inheritance, as we can see here from the picture in the left side, in a typical scenario where the parent is sharing all the permissions to the children, the three levels will have all the same level of permissions, independent on each level we are talking about. If we decide for some reason due to any business requirement, we can broke permissions at any level, and that way it will stop inheriting from the parent and will generate a customized scenario at this level. So there are some artifacts that can have unique permissions, such as web, document library, folder in a library, or item in a library. And there are also some SharePoint artifacts that cannot have unique permissions, such as a folder and attachments to a list item or an SP site object. Okay, so special SharePoint groups. There are here two groups that are created by default by Office 365. One of them is the everyone except external users, and the other is the company administrators. The everyone except external users is added with a permission level of contribute and is automatically added to the members group of a SharePoint team site. Every new user that is added to the Office 365 will automatically belong to this group. So basically that's the reason why a new user always have access to the group or to a SharePoint site through this members group, through this everyone except external users group. As a company administrator, it will contain all the global admins defined in the Office 365, and they will have a full control permission level belonging to the owners group. Okay, so security groups versus distribution groups. There are a huge difference from the SharePoint perspective about these groups. A security group is mail enabled, both of them are, but only a security group can be handled for permissions. So a security group is recognized from SharePoint perspective and will appear on the people picker, for example. So we can define permissions for the security group. The same is not true for a distribution group. Okay, so about audiences. Audiences, I will start from the question that we have at the end. Can audiences be used to secure content safely? This is definitely a no. So audiences are different than permissions, as the audiences can only be used to hide or show content in a specific page. So the audiences are created based in a set of rules, and if the users meet the rules criteria, they will automatically become a member. So audiences are specifically designed to show or hide content in a page that could be a web part, a list view. Any of these items can be used to be filtered by the audiences, not for permission purposes. Okay, so about the access requests, this is a quite new feature from SharePoint 2013, also existing in SharePoint Online, and allows people that do not have access to a specific resource to request that access. So the users that receiving an access denied in a browser can type a message explaining why they need access to that specific resource. Later on, the site owner can decide if they should approve or decline that request. Just a particularity about this list, this is created only after the first sharing event. By default, the option and the list does not exist in site settings, and only after the first share, it will start appearing on our site settings and the list will be created. As we can see here from the screenshot at the bottom, we can enable or disable this feature, and we can also define an email where the owner will receive all the requests that are being performed to that site collection. Okay, some best practices that we may use as possible. We should establish a clear hierarchy of permissions and inherited permissions. Arrange sites and subsites and lists and libraries so they can share most permissions. Break permissions inheritance as infrequently as possible. Assign permissions at the highest possible level and minimize unique and fine-grained permissions, and avoid security design for large list library in which all or most contents must be uniquely secured. Okay, next topic, I will pass the word to my colleague Pedro.
Okay, hello. Thank you, Diogo. So, external sharing. Can you hear everyone? Yeah, okay. So, we are going to go through the fundamentals on the external sharing, then authenticated users and anonymous users, some more information on under the hood on external sharing, and administration on the external sharing. So, fundamentals. Well, basically, this is only for SharePoint Online and Office 365. It doesn't exist on premises. Basically, the advantage of the big advantage of external sharing is basic mimicking the an extranet on premises, or you create, for example, a custom membership provider. You could even use Facebook for your on-premises SharePoint and have an extranet. But of course, typically this is something that is very costly for everyone who has worked on this type of projects. And with the Office 365 and SharePoint Online, it is really, really easy to set up, for example, an extranet. So it's available SharePoint Online everywhere. So it's one very important feature. So it's important also to understand how external sharing works. So the basics is that you're going to share content with people outside of your organization. So what that means is that these are users that do not have licenses, and they don't have licenses in your subscription. Of course, with that, they do not get the exact same features as a full licensed user. We'll talk about that in a while. Also, for external sharing, we can call it in two flavors, the authenticated users and the anonymous users. We'll go into that a little bit on. But basically, you have authentication providers for Office 365, of course, and for the Microsoft account. These are the two authentication providers, and if we can call it anonymous as well. You can enable it globally on the admin center and individually for each site collection in the admin center, in the SharePoint admin center. Typically, we'll talk about some of the risks of the external sharing, but some recommendations would be to have, for example, just one site collection, let's call it your extranet, where you'd have external users enabled. Of course, there are some other ways, but that's a common guidance. Okay, authenticated users. We have the work or school account that you are going to see on the documentation. It's also called organizational account, Office 365. Basically, this is the same thing. This is an Office 365 account on a different tenant. So, for example, you're sharing something with John at contoso.com. And contoso.com has an Office 365 account, and you exist on some other domain, and like for example Microsoft.com, and you want to share with an external user that already has an Office 365 account, and this is basically what this type of external user is, someone that exists on Office 365 on another tenant. And then you also have a Microsoft account. So this is the live account that we all know. There are some catches here that we will need to understand. And basically, let me just give you a little bit a step by step when you are inviting by email. Basically, it's going to be, the link is going to be different when you invite. There are some variables that we'll go into a little bit later, but basically when you invite with the user with an email, he's going to check if the user exists in the backend, he has any information, and if it doesn't, it's going to force you to send an email, because of course if you're sharing with someone that doesn't know anything about for example Office 365, he needs to have something, so an email is sent, and that email is different from the other one. But we'll come into more detail with that. What I wanted to point out is that, for example, and this happens very, very often. So you share something with the user and with John at contoso.com, and what happens is that John receives the email on his Outlook, on his organizational account Outlook, right? He opens the email, double clicks on the link to accept the invitation, and what happens is that he's logged in with his live account on the browser, right? So when he opens up the window, it's going to prompt, you want to use your organizational account or live account, he doesn't know, he clicks live account, he's already authenticated, so it's not going to ask for credentials and anything, and it's going to go straight through to, the external user is going to be provisioned, it's going to be provisioned with the live account instead of the Office 365 account, and there are some differences we'll look into how you can check if the user is an external user from a live account or from an Office 365 account. Okay, so what are here, what who can share what? So basically you have a user, a regular user or even an external user that can share something. So for example, a site owner or a user with full control can share a whole site. So basically you create, for example, a new site collection and you can share that site with an external user, and that external user can have full view access or full contribute or full owning of that site. And the members can also share libraries, items. So there's some differences between authenticated users and anonymous users, as we will see in the future. Problems with authenticated users and things that you need to be on the lookout. External user can share with other external users. For example, if you give an owner access to a site, if you an external user, you give owner access to the site, he can share that with another external user. He can go and even share a document anonymously with another user. So there are some things here that you cannot control. So there's some concerns here. Also, if you have you have permission inheritance, imagine that you have shared the site with a user, with an external user, and you have permission inheritance. So basically, if you have a list that has permissions broken, that user will not be able to access that. So you will then have to check the user once the user is provisioned on the user information list, and see what are the permissions and the groups where the user is, and check. We're going to look into that option. Also, a shared invitation won't appear in the administration, and the administration is the access list, and as well as in the no access list, no in the external users list, as long as the user hasn't used that invitation. Okay, so anonymous users, or most commonly known as guest links, can only share individual documents. They cannot share, at least until now, some of this information. Well, as you know, it's constantly changing, but at this moment only for individual documents. They cannot share, for example, a folder anonymously. And the only permissions that are available is the view and edit permissions. So if you can see here on this pop-up, you click on a document, you click on get a link, and you have this drop-down with these options. So anonymous users, you have to use these two. So no sign-in required, and this is anonymous users. What's going to happen here is that basically, I will create a link. I will copy the link and I will share it with someone. And basically, the user that receives the link can do whatever he wants with that link. So he can share that link with someone else. He can use it to view. Others may potentially view. So basically, the risk is that links can be shared, but you don't have control over that. What you can do, you can set an expiration and you can remove that link. Also, you can see an anonymous guest link. So you cannot see a list of the anonymous guest links for your documents. And that can be a concern. There's no way to do that unless you go through the documents and check it. As far as I'm aware, there might be some other ways, but I'm not aware of that. Also, if you give the edit link, the edit permission with no sign-in required, multiple users, different users, will be able to edit the document. What we are going to see in version history is something called guest contributor. And so different users will share this guest contributor user. Under the hood, so we are not going to go really deep dive, because this is a 200 level session, but basically what happens the first time the user is invited in the backend, it's going to provision the user. It's just similar, for example, if you've worked with an extranet, or if you created an extranet where you have the user stored in SQL or in Active Directory somewhere, you have to develop something to do that. In this case, it's very similar. It's the user is provisioned in this case in the backend in Directory Services, and basically on the first invite, the user is provisioned. Well, actually, this is not correct. This is not correct, because the user is only provisioned when he accesses the site collection. So what happens is that when you go to your share and you write the email, and when you're writing the email, you have the people picker trying to find that email address somewhere. It doesn't find it anywhere. So, okay, is it external sharing enabled? Yes, it is. Okay, so I'm going to need to send an email with an invitation. And what happens is that one of the things that you'll notice is that the email invitation is grayed out, so you cannot uncheck that. So it's going to always to send an email, and the email is sent from this account. It's slightly different once you have external user already ongoing and working with some documents, for example. But the first one is going to be something like this, and with this type of email. Basically, on the back end, what's going to happen is this is a special type of link, because basically what this will do is provision the user. So I will be able to click on this. Once I click, I will choose my authentication provider, Office 365 or Live. After that, after I'm authenticated, the user is provisioned, and I will have access to the resource. The invitation in the link is valid for 7 days. On the first scenario that we would like to discuss, this is something that also happens with some frequency, is that you have two accounts with the same email. Basically, this is the scenario that that I've discussed before. You basically have two accounts with the same email address. So, for example, john@contoso.com is an email for an Office 365 account and for a Live account. And basically, you don't know. Or the user, if he's not very aware of what he's doing, may not be aware that he's logging in with the Live account instead of the Office 365 account. One of the other problems in the scenario two is that you receive an email with this link, and you can share this link with someone else, and someone else can then be able to log in with that, or the user will be provisioned with that different email address. So you can do that in the UI. There's an option in the settings, in the sharing settings in SharePoint Admin Center, or you can use PowerShell and use this require accepting account match invited account. So basically that's it. And you're still going to have that issue regarding the two authentication providers, Office 365 or Live, but at least the email must match what's accepted and what's invited. So this is something that you can do through PowerShell. So next one is the administration. You can turn it off, external sharing, globally for the entire tenant. Let's see if we have time to show it off on the new admin center and in the old admin center. in the new, I wasn't able to find it through the menus. You have to search, and then it's going to allow you to select it. And then individually, you can go through each of the site collections, select them, and change the setting here, with where you can disable or enable share, external sharing, and authenticated or anonymous. Basically, if you click on the second one, you only have authenticated users. The third one is authenticated users and anonymous users. You will notice, and this is important, that if you try to disable from one of these two options, external sharing to do not allow sharing outside of your organization, you'll get a pop-up with this information. Basically, bear in mind that this is not just a toggle where you just disable sharing. You are going to remove the permissions that the external users have to the content. So this is, and if you are doing this for the whole tenant, for example, it can be a problem. So please bear in mind that. Also in Admin Center, you will be able to list the external users. You have the old Admin Center it's better for that at this moment. We are working on the new one, but here it is more easier way to display the number of external users. Also, as I said before, external users don't have the exact same capabilities. Some of the capabilities that you should be aware is that, for example, external user will not be able to install the desktop version of Office. It doesn't have personal sites. By default, he cannot search on the search center because it is set for sharing. If you notice, you can only share a site, so you can only share within that site. He is not able to share across the scope of the tenant. That's it for administration. Now we will do a little demo on check permissions. This is something that we discussed before, the check permissions. So give me a moment so I can show off here. So this is a very a blank theme site, and let's do one thing. So this is the admin, so he has access to everything. So let's try to do one thing. Let's try to open this with a user that is not authenticated, right? What happens here? Okay, so basically say, okay, I don't know you. Let me just forget these users for now. So he doesn't know me. So, okay, let me try. I don't have an account, right? So give me a moment. I'm going to share with the user. So if you notice, he doesn't know this user. And since he doesn't know this user, he's saying, okay, you have to send an email invitation. So let's share this whole site let's instead of doing that, let's do one thing. Let's share the library, because this is going to show something different. We go here to the classic, and share. Okay, it's the same thing. I think I shared the whole site, but That's okay, because that's going to work as well. Give me a moment, because I'm going now to sign in here with Outlook at that account. Okay, and I have here the share, and if we look into the link here, it says click mail, as I said before, right? So I'm not signing into Office 365, and let me try to do this and go here. And here, as I said before, it's asking for Microsoft account or organizational account. In this case, I don't have, for this user, it doesn't have an organizational account, so let's go for a live. Because I'm already authenticated in Outlook.com that is live, he already was able to collect the token and was redirected directly to the site. And that's it. So the external user has access. So let's try to do one thing here with the admin. Let's go to the documents and let's go to the permissions. Manage the permissions for this site, and we set the user to, let me check, and we can do that. That's a good idea. For example, check permissions, and let's go here and check the permissions for our, now he recognized our external user, and if we look at it, it has added through the members. So what he's saying is that this user has added permission that are given through the members group. So we know that it's the member group. So let's do one thing. Let's stop inherit, like Diogo said before, we can stop the inheriting. So let's do that. Let's see what happens here for the members. And I'm going to remove this permission. So not only the external user, but all of the members, all of the users that are in the members group is going to lose the permissions. So I just did that, and let's see what happens with the external user. I'm going just to refresh the page, and what we have here, we have WebParterre access denied, it doesn't have permissions, and we do not see here the documents, and that's strange, right? That do not see the documents, and we have that error. But we know the name of the library, so let's try to do that. Before doing that, let me start here Fiddler. Give me a moment. I'm going to push Fiddler here so it doesn't go into our way. And I'm going to try to access our share documents. Let's see what happens. It says, sorry, you don't have access to this page. So here you could see different messages, like Diogo mentioned. In this case, we can imagine that the access request is enabled for the site collection. Give me now a moment, because I have Fiddler here, and I want to show you what did Fiddler captured. So please bear with me. If you have any kind of questions, please use the chat box. Or use this time to think about it. Okay, so all clear. We have here, and using Fiddler is going to be a very good way to understand what is happening in terms of permissions. And one very quick hint that it's going to help you. If you're not aware, you can go into and get the value of the FedAuth cookie and just paste it on the text wizard and transform it from base 64. And this is basically an XML with some information. One thing that is very important or can be very helpful is the account. And here we can see the whole account name for our user, and it is live.com cardinalpedmat@outlook.com. So this is the user account, and we know who did this request. We know who did this get at this endpoint. And if we look at here, we do not get access denied. What we have is a found, and SharePoint internally what it does is redirecting to an access denied page. What's also interesting here is that if we look into the URL, you have some information on why this is an access denied. Typically the best form is using web forms, and here you have the correlation ID. Of course, on online you'll have to get help from support, but here you know that we have an access denied, and see, it was trying to access a list, and it was trying to access this list. This is the list ID, and so this is interesting to use Fiddler to understand what is happening in the backend. So the user still doesn't have access. Let's try to do one thing from the admin point of view. So we did the check permissions before. If we now try to do the check permissions again, let's see what happens. So we have here our user, and here we can see that there are none. Also here, this is very important because we had cases, we had some issues similar. So for example, if you go to site permissions in the site settings and you check permissions and say, oh, I go here and the user has a lot of permissions. So it has edit, so he can access everything. Well, you have to bear in mind that you're checking the permissions for the whole site. So, and if you notice here, and if you go, let me see, if you go to documents, and then if in, you go to the library, permissions for that library, then you're checking the permissions for the library. And now, let me just a moment, because this is also very important. The check permissions is something that is your tool to understand what's happening, but you need to use it well. And one of the things that you need to do is check the context. And basically, if you look at the URL, it's very big here, but if you look at here, you know that the context is a document library, and this is the list ID for that document library, and you're checking the permissions for that document library. For example, let me try it. I don't have here a document. Please bear with me. Okay. If we do the same, a similar thing, you can do that for an item. If you go here to share, shared with, and advanced, you're basically going to the same page, but now you're going to notice that the query string is slightly different. So we have here, well, the source we can ignore, but here we have the object, and now in the object we have list item and a number, and this is definitely the ID, and this is the list ID. So now you are checking the permissions, and if, let's do one more thing. So basically, PubMed doesn't have access because it was removed, right, to the list. So let's do one thing. Let's go here ahead and share this document, only this document, with that user. And what is happening is that if I now go and check the permissions again, just for the item, I'm checking the permissions for the item, it has contribute given directly. So let's do one thing. I wonder if anything changed at the document library perspective. So if we go here, because remember, we only changed the item permission. We didn't change anything on the library itself. So here, how are we? And here we have the limited access that Diogo mentioned, and this is important to understand. And usually you have these disclaimers, and here you're saying that the library has unique permissions, and there are users with limited access, and also some items on this list may have unique permissions. And here you'll be able to see which one. So let's see what happened to our external user. So he didn't have access to the library. Now it has. That's strange. Let's try to access the library directly, just as we did before. It was shared documents. So now we have access to the library. That's strange, but it's not that strange, because if you want to give access to one document, you still need to give some basic access to the library itself, to the container. Because if I go here and, sorry, that I wanted to do, and I upload something else, let me see this one. Okay, not sure if this is the best one. No, let's do this. If I do this one and I go and refresh the page, the external user still not seeing that, because we just gave permissions only to one of the items and not to the whole library. So this is the power of Fiddler. This is the power of check permissions and understanding how this works. It's really going to help you understand more about the issue. Also, I was, like I said before in the presentation, let me just very quickly show this. So we have here the default, and I'm going to check for a user, and here This is the UPN, the internal name, and here you can see the live.com. Basically, this is saying that the authentication provider is live.com, and if it was something else, like an external user from another tenant, it wouldn't have live.com. So you are still always be able to identify exactly what type of external user there are. Okay, one more thing that I think we are good in time, right, Bruno? So let me just very quickly show the setting in the new admin center. It might not be that easy. I wasn't able to find it here on the menu. If you do find it, please let me know. But what I did was external sharing, and here on the new you can check and change. Of course, in the old you have the menu, and it's much easier to access it. Okay, more the people picker. It's not really a permissions component, but what I wanted to provide here is that always use private navigation or clear the browser cache, because the people picker does cache some information in the browser. So if you are seeing duplicate users or missing users or missing information or incorrect information, the people picker is going to check the browser cache first. And then afterwards, it's going to request the server, the user information list, the user profile application, to check it. But first, it's going to check the browser cache. So this is something that we've seen, quite a few times. So we just wanted to give you some information on that. Also, additionally, the custom script setting in the admin center. This is also very important, because if you have a site collection administrator with an access denied on a site collection, that's really odd, because you do not have any deny in SharePoint Online or in SharePoint except what Diogo mentioned before, the custom script, the no script setting. So please make sure in the admin center that you have that, and I can very quickly show it to you guys. I'm sorry, but I will need to show it on, this is on SharePoint admin center in the settings.
Pedro?
Yeah.
Sandra have shared one thing that is on admin center settings, apps and sites.
Okay. Good. I knew that there should be a way, but I wasn't able to find it out. Okay. Custom script. Here is where you can set it to allow in the SharePoint admin portal. Also, you can do it through PowerShell for using the SetSPO site with the deny, add, and customize pages space zero. This is also a way to enable the custom script allows. This error message when an external user accepts a SharePoint online invitation by using another account. We were going to demonstrate some of these troubleshooting techniques, but we actually found this KB. It's here in the URL. You can then later on search for it, where for external users where you have access denied and that typical user not found directory, it has an explanation of what's going on and how you can resolve the problem, remove incorrect external users. It even has the PowerShells to remove the external users and also remove the users from Office 365. So it has a lot of information, so and it's very extensive on external users. Also, what else can we speak more in terms of troubleshooting permissions? What's important here is check the settings, the global settings, if it's happening for one user or more, the UPNs of the affected users, the URLs of the affected items or lists or libraries, try to gather as much information as possible on this topic, that it does have some common grounds. Okay, I think that's it for today. So I wasn't aware, I wasn't looking at the chat box.
No, there is no question, Pedro. I was checking that if was some question there, I was informing you. So if anyone have a question, it's a good time to make it so that Diogo or Pedro can answer. I don't think so. So I will launch the poll. Please insert your opinion on the box. Okay, so the poll will be closed. And close. Okay, thank you guys for being on this webcast. This content will be available on the blog. So as soon as possible, I will publish this video. And thank you all of the presents and the presenters as well. Thank you, and I hope see you soon on the next webcast soon. Okay, thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruno.